This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. Welcome back to the Relic Radio Show, back this Tuesday with another 60 minutes of old-time radio drama. We'll start off this week with Dangerously Yours, story titled Bothwell of Scotland, aired August 27th, 1944. After that, it's Mystery House with Dagger in the Dark, their episode from July 5th, 1946.
Vix presents Dangerously Yours, a half hour of romance and adventure starring Victor Jory in Bothwell of Scotland. You know, more and more millions of people are using Vicks Vatronol nose drops to relieve distress of head colds. Benefit by their experience. And now, Dangerously Yours.
I am adventure. In my name, men have traversed the highways, the byways, the skyways of the world. I am the fire that burns in the heart of youth, that makes men dream and dare and conquer. I am Dangerously Yours. Today, follow me to the Scotland of the 16th century, when Mary, Queen of Scots, was 23 years old and one of the most beautiful women in the world. And a man came storming into her court and into her heart. Bothwell of Scotland.
James Hepburn, 4th Earl of Bothwell, exiled by your father, but your humble servant, if you will have me.
You are my father's enemy, my lord.
I will not be yours. I bring to your banners my army. I bring to your name of honor through many generations and a loyalty you need ne'er question.
I have need of a loyalty such as that. But you have been considered an enemy in this court.
This court would consider any honest man an enemy.
I resent that statement, sir.
It is ne'er wise to resent a statement, your majesty, before you have examined it. I tell you, this court is like a rotten apple eaten from within. Your nobles are a treacherous lying thieves, and everyone in the world knows it but you.
My nobles thieves? Get out of this court before I throw you in irons. How dare you stand before me and attack my people in such a manner?
I dare because I'm a Scot, and it makes my blood boil to hear the things that are going on in Scotland. I come back because, regardless of my differences with your father, I love my country and my country's crown. And the wrongs done to the crown and the country burn deep into my own honor. You are a woman, and young, and in a sense defenseless. And you are surrounded by an unscrupulous court that is constantly using you to its own advantage. I admire your loyalty, but you must know these things are true. You must have suspected them.
If I have, I'll not admit it to the world.
I am your countryman. Your fight is my fight. Will you let me stay? Will you let me fight for you?
Very well. Here's my hand on it.
Your Majesty.
Your Majesty, may I intrude for a moment?
Certainly, my Lord Digley. Have you met the Earl of Bothwell?
Lord Digley?
Your Majesty, is it your wish that we welcome the Earl of Bothwell to your court?
It is my wish.
And why shouldn't you welcome me?
Why, since you ask, you were declared outlaw in Scotland. You went against the king.
The king was wrong. He was under the influence of traitors in his own court.
Are you daring to imply
that... I don't bother with implications, Bigley, but only with accusations. I'm here to fight for the queen against any who would betray her.
This entire court is loyal to her service.
There are differences of opinion on that. If it's true, then this court has nothing to fear from me.
Your Majesty, will you permit this man to voice such insults in your presence?
We've heard enough, Bigley. My Lord Bothwell, we are very grateful for your offer of service, and we welcome you to our standards. We hereby confirm your hereditary title of Lord Admiral of Scotland.
Your Majesty.
You will bring your men here for quartering and make your home in our castle.
Thank you, Your Majesty. Your Majesty, good evening.
Good evening, Your Grace.
May I join you in your walk, or would you prefer to be alone?
You may join me.
What does a queen think about when she's walking in her gardens in the moonlight?
What should a queen think about?
Oh, I suppose great things such as... Oh, how much good she will bring to Scotland in her lifetime. What does the Queen of Scotland think about?
The Queen of Scotland thinks of her people walking hand in hand in the spring starlight. The Queen of Scotland wonders what it would be like to have a village beau and be kissed in the shadow of a yew tree. I'm afraid I'm under the spell of the moon tonight. You should not have asked. And I should not have answered.
Why shouldn't you think those things? You're young and beautiful. Tell me, where is His Highness, your husband?
Darnley?
Hmm?
I have no idea. He has little love for me or I for him. He and Lord Bigley rode away just after dinner.
Beware of Bigley. I don't trust him.
I will. You're staring at me, my lord.
I know. It's as though I was suddenly seeing you for the first time, and the wonder of seeing you puts many things upon my tongue, and yet keeps me from saying them. Oh, Mary.
How dare you kiss me, sir? How dare you?
Throw me an iron, send me back to exile, do with me what you will, but I love you.
How dare you?
Shall I leave you, my queen, now that I've incurred your anger? Shall I mount my horse and ride out of Scotland? I'm used to banishment. You hae only to say the word.
Yes, go. Go and never let me see you again.
You're very wise, my queen. For if I stayed, I'd kiss you again. Having forgotten once you were a queen, I might forget it again. Ah, oh, you're lovely in the moonlight, Mary. Mary, Queen of Scots. Your lips are soft and ripe for kissing. Your eyes are deep with dreams. And I, who only wanted to kneel at your feet, now want to take you into my arms. Good night. Goodbye, Your Majesty.
Bothwell! Bothwell, don't leave me. Don't leave me. Already I'm lonely for you.
I love you. I love you.
Oh, I can't breathe. I never laughed so much or ran so much. Imagine the Queen of Scotland running through the streets of Edinburgh. I don't know what got into me.
You were chasing me, if you remember.
Oh, so I was. I must watch that. Oh, look, darling. This is the wishing well. Have you a coin? Have you two coins? We'll throw them in and make a wish.
Here they are.
Thank you.
What did you wish?
That you'd always love me. What did you wish?
That you'd always want me to love you. I'm afraid I'm not my best at dancing. I feel like a bear dancing with a fairy princess.
You look wonderful and you dance divinely, and I'm the luckiest girl in the world.
I don't like to be the one to have to tell you, Your Majesty, but that lovely little crown of yours is on crooked.
Oh.
And your court is looking definitely shocked.
Heavens, what a breach of royal etiquette. I'll set it straight at once.
Oh, I like it crooked. It makes you look like a little girl dressed for a masquerade.
Then I'll wear it that way. Always.
Lord Bothwell.
Yes, Lord Bigley.
This court resents your friendship with the Queen. If you'll take my advice, you leave this kingdom while you still have a head on your shoulders.
Are you threatening me, Bigley?
You fool, you'll ruin the Queen's name throughout the entire world. You're forgetting there's a king in Scotland, and everyone is talking about you now.
That's a contemptible lie. No one could be talking because we've done nothing wrong.
Go into the city and find out yourself, Bothwell. and then get out of this court.
Ah, you found it a little hard to prey on the countryside since I've been here, haven't you, Bigley? And you found it a little hard to continue your foreign intrigue since I've been examining the dispatches. That might possibly have more to do with your desire to get me out than your interest in the Queen's reputation. Craig! Craig!
Aye, Bothwell.
Come with me. I want to ride into the city.
You see that I've told you the truth.
I wonder how long you and I can stay in the same court, Bigley, without me killing you.
You'll be leaving after your trip to Edinburgh.
Come on, Craig. What do you think of your queen, sir?
My queen, that hussy. Carrying on with Bothwell behind her husband's back.
Fight off!
Wait, Bothwell. Dinna strike him again. He's drunk. He didn't mean it.
He didn't mean it. A man says things when he's drunk he wouldn't dare say when he's sober. Come, let us go elsewhere.
The Queen and Bothwell, why, I say they're a disgrace to the whole country. What right does the Queen have to act like a barmaid?
You're wrong, old man. There has been nothing wrong between them. The Queen is faithful to her husband.
Don't expect me to believe that. Or anyone else in Scotland, or in the whole world, for that matter.
I'm afraid Bigley was right, Craig. What shall I do? What shall I do?
Bothwell. Oh, Bothwell, hold me close. I'm so frightened. I dreamt you rode away and left me. And I woke up crying. And I saw you walking up and down outside my window, and I had to come out. Hold me close. Everything's all right when I'm in your arms.
Do you know that last night your people burned me in effigy in the square?
How did they dare? How did they dare? They shall be punished.
Oh, Mary. Mary, I love you. I loved you the first moment and before the first moment. And even if I ne'er see you again, I will love you forever.
You wouldn't leave me, Bothwell. Oh, you wouldn't leave me.
I'd save your kingdom for you by riding away. Your people despise me.
But they're devoted to me. I believe they'll understand. Let's tell them that I'm a woman and that I've fallen in love. Let's say to them, is there one among you who would give up your loved ones for a crown? Then take my crown. It becomes too heavy for a woman's heart.
Mary, I'm going.
You can't. I forbid it.
You're not a queen with me, you know. You cannot forbid and demand.
Do you want pleadings and tears? Then I'll cry. I have no pride with you. I cannot lose.
Mary, listen to me. You are a queen and married. Your court, your people can tell you, and doubtless have, that I'm an adventurer, that I've spent most of my days on the battlefield, and I've taken my love where I found it.
And now you bear a queen across your saddle. Is that it? Has it all been a lie? Have you been pretending to love me and meaning all the time to ride away one day and leave me dying?
If I did not love you, I would stay and reap the harvest and then I would leave you. Not now. But in God's name, what else is there for me to do? If I stay here, you will lose your crown.
Suppose you let me worry about my crown. My heart is my own affair, not Scotland's.
Oh, my dear. You're very young in the way of courts. It will always be your tragedy that you had to learn to be a queen, and mine that I had to teach you.
Bothwell, if you leave me now, I'll abdicate. I'll give the throne to anyone who'll take it. I don't want a world that has no place for you. Oh, my darling, help me work it out. I'll ask Darnley for a divorce. We can try to work it out. We must try. We have a right to happiness.
We have no right to anything, you and I.
Oh, don't leave me now. Oh, tell me you won't leave me. Tell me you'll never leave me. Bothwell. Oh, Bothwell.
All right. All right, Mary, all right. Have it your own way. But we have many enemies now. And they will ne'er stop until they've ruined us. And may heaven help us both.
In just a moment, we will bring you the second act of Bothwell of Scotland. But first, friends. Do you happen to be sniffling and sneezing these days like a good many other people? Well, if you are, and your trouble is due to a head cold, here's a friendly tip that may save you a lot of misery. Vicks Vatrinol is specialized nasal medication that quickly relieves sniffly, sneezy, stuffy distress. All you do is put a few drops of Vatrinol in each nostril, and at once, this fine medication goes to work fast, right where trouble is. It quickly spreads through the nose and upper throat to soothe irritation, and it opens up the nasal passages to make breathing easier. You'll like the way Vatrinol brings relief. And here's a sensible precaution. Always keep a bottle on hand, ready to use right away when you catch a head cold. Yes, try Vatrinol, friends. Just follow the simple directions in the folder. Vicks Vatrinol Nose Drop. And now, the second act of Dangerously Yours, starring Victor Jory in Bothwell of Scotland.
You could still save your neck, Bothwell. You could still ride away with your men and save your life. We have every card stacked against you. We have you in the middle of the most fabulous trap that's ever been devised. And you'll be destroyed the moment we spring it.
I'm pretty good at eluding traps, Bigley. And you're a slimy little rat sliding around behind people's backs, whispering lies, setting traps. And you didn't scare me one bit. In fact, someday I shall probably have the pleasure of cutting off your head.
It's always dangerous to underestimate your enemy, Bothwell. We have warned you. Now we shall act. We shall spring the trap.
Bothwell! Bothwell, wake up! Wake up!
Yes, Craig?
Come on!
What is it? There's something wrong.
Didn't you hear that explosion?
Explosion? What explosion?
There's been an accident. Nay, not an accident. There's been a murder. The king, Darnley, it was sleeping tonight in the royal house at Kirkfield. There was an explosion.
He's dead?
Aye. They found his body a short distance from the house.
Who found the body?
Bigley and some of the court nobles who were riding by. You know what they say, Bothwell?
No.
They say that you killed him.
What? But that's stupid. I ain't been out of my room all evening. I've been sleeping. And besides, no one could possibly believe I would murder the king.
They're saying that you did. It's all over Edinburgh. Soon they may be saying it all over the world.
Oh, I see. I see. So this was their trap. I must see the queen at once.
Darnley dead. Darnley dead. I can't believe it.
But it's true, my dear. The people are saying that I killed him.
I suppose I should weep. But I haven't any tears to shed. Isn't that strange? I've hated him for so long that I couldn't possibly grieve for him.
Oh, you must never say that again. Mary.
Bothwell, will you marry me?
No, Mary. Then people would say we were both responsible for his death. That would be madness.
We've always been mad. We began this love fearlessly, paying no attention to what anyone thought or said. And that's the way we must live it. We mustn't let them destroy it for us.
This is the work of those devils in your court. This is the result of their fiendish plotting.
Let us face them down. At least let us attempt to face them down. Let us not admit defeat. Will you marry me, Bothwell?
You're a brave woman.
You've made me brave.
You're not a good queen, my dear. You ne'er have been. As Queen of Scotland, you should say, this romance has caused anger and dissension and death within my kingdom. And dear as it is to me, it must be stricken from the land and from my heart. As Queen of Scotland, you should say, this country must come above all things with me. And I who rule it must rule it proudly and with dignity at whatever cost necessary to personal happiness. And then I would ride away for you. And you would be a great queen.
I could do that. If it were not for my woman's heart. I could do that if my thoughts were not molded by a woman's mind. I could do that if you'd not taken me in your arms and awakened me. And if you leave me, it will destroy me completely. Will you marry me, Boswell?
Oh, do you want to marry me? Knowing by that act you may bring about your death and lose your throne. Do you want to marry me and listen to the entire world say that I murdered your husband to get your kingdom and that you were an accomplice? Mary, we'd be scorned and hated and despised and very probably killed.
Ours has been a great love. A love such as comes to few people. And it's been my one great joy. Let us have what hours we can. And let us not count them or fear what may follow. Let us live them as they come. Until they end.
You're not a good queen, Mary. But, you're a rather magnificent woman. Ah, it's too bad you weren't the village belle and I your village beau.
Don't think of what could have been or should have been. But only what is.
All right. All right, Mary. We'll take the hours as they come, and we'll live them until the end. I, James Hepburn, Earl of Bothwell, do solemnly swear to love and to cherish this woman, as long as we both shall live.
I, Mary Stuart, do solemnly swear to love and to cherish this man as long as we both shall live.
I tell you, unless we kill Bothwell, it's death for all Scotland. He's bewitched the Queen. Call your men together, we'll march on the palace.
I have 500 men waiting in the glen. We'll march on the palace and take Bothwell. If the Queen objects, we'll put her where she won't object. We'll make an armed camp of all Scotland if necessary.
Are we going to let the King's murder go unavenged? Come on, we'll bomb the palace. Down with Bothwell! Down with the Queen! Kill Bothwell! Kill the Queen!
Listen to them. Oh, listen to them.
They're celebrating our wedding, my dear. You see how joyous it makes them. Oh, come away from the windows.
The people have always been kind to me. I never thought they'd storm my gates.
Mary, I have arranged passage for you to England. Elizabeth will shelter you until your people quiet down.
And you?
I'm going to Denmark.
Could I not go to Denmark with you?
Oh, no, my dear. I will encounter much danger until I'm out of Scotland. But I believe you will be safe once I have left your side. Elizabeth will shelter you. And in a short time, you can return to your kingdom.
Oh, my darling.
Well, we've lived our hours, Mary. And now we've reached the end of them.
England. That name is like an icy hand touching my heart. Let me stay here where I belong.
If you stay here, you'll be killed.
I? Killed? I am the queen.
You forget you were a queen, Mary. You forgot you were a queen, and when you forgot, your people forgot. You had no choice but to leave for a time, Mary. You would not be safe for a moment with me, and Elizabeth will only protect you if you go to her alone. Those were her terms.
If you wish me to go, I'll go.
I do wish it.
I wish it could be otherwise.
Love for a queen comes high, Mary.
I love you now, and will forever.
My darling. My darling. Thank you for all the things that I will remember. For your laughter and for your tears. And for the feel of your hand in mine, for your lips, and for your eyes, for the mornings and for the afternoons and the evenings, for listening to my hopes and my dreams and smiling upon them. And thank you most of all for your love and for your trust. You've been all that a woman could be and should be. And for me, there will ne'er be lips or arms again unless they're yours. And now, Goodbye, my beloved.
Bothwell. Oh, Bothwell.
Goodbye, my dearest.
Bothwell, wait. When will I see you? Goodbye. Where will I see you?
Goodbye, my darling.
The carriage is at the gate. The Queen is leaving now. You can see her from here.
I don't want to watch her go.
She sent you a note. I have it here.
Thank you. My dearest, somehow I think that I will die in England. I will die far from the moors and the heather that I have always loved. And I will be dying for my throne.
I left him a note, Martha. I said, I will be a queen now. If I've blundered, they were human blunders. And I'm paying a great price for them. It isn't the throne so much as what the throne stands for. Scotland yesterday and today, and all the tomorrows of the future. Scottish people who will love the bracken and the thistle. Who will love the small towns and the great cities. The moors, the highlands, the lowlands and the sea. Scottish people who will measure and evaluate their rulers with the unemotional eyes of the future. They will say...
They will say, Mary made mistakes. Yes, Mary made mistakes, but Mary was not a coward. In her final years, Mary learned the destiny of a queen and met it unafraid. Mary died more queen to Scotland than she lived. She is my queen, New Craig. She is my queen, and no more my lady. But she will always be the life of my heart. And someday we shall be together again in God's time. Until that time, goodbye, my darling.
Goodbye, my darling.
Ladies, all too often, women pay the penalty of fading before their time. They're guilty of throwing away their natural youthfulness simply because they fail to live sensibly and get enough of certain indispensable vitamins and iron. Now, don't let that happen to you. Don't you so heedlessly surrender your youthful charm. Just live sensibly and take Vitamins Plus once each day. You see, Vitamins Plus gives you full protective amounts of all the certain indispensable vitamins and iron that you must have to look and feel as young as you should. Be sure to make it your health charm routine. Vitamins Plus, just once each day.
I am Adventure. Next week, listen to one of the most famous romances of all time. A story of burning desert sands and midnight rendezvous. The story of a girl who went into the desert in search of excitement and met that glamorous, exciting lover, the Sheik. Until next week, then, I am dangerously yours.
Our script was written by Gene Holloway and directed by Richard Sandville. Mary, Queen of Scots, was played by Gertrude Warner. Music for the series is under the direction of Mark Warnow. Be sure to listen again next week when Dangerously Yours presents The Sheik, starring Victor Jory. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Mystery House. Mystery House, that strange publishing firm owned by Dan and Barbara Glenn, where each new novel is acted out by the Mystery House staff before it is accepted for publication. Mystery House.
Barb, you said tonight's story had something to do with a Scotch background.
Right, Dan?
Well, now, no cracks about the Scotch being stingy, please. You know, my ancestry's Scotch.
How could I forget?
Say, I don't see why everybody thinks it's so smart to crack wise about being economical. It's just good common sense.
Oh, you're an expert on common sense, are you, Tom?
I certainly am, Mr. Glenn, and I can prove it. Listen.
Okay, places, everybody. Set the scene, will you, Tom?
Daggers in the Dark. Tonight's story opens in the makeshift dressing room, which adjoins the small auditorium of the Women's Club in a small Midwestern town. The room's only occupant, alive, is Jean Gordon.
Jean, is that you? Jean. Jeannie, what the... Great Scott.
Father, murdered. But it's on Dirk.
Jean, snap out of it. His own dagger, right through the heart.
Oh, Pete, who could have killed him?
I don't know, sweetheart, but I wish I did. Because that's the question the police will be asking us. All right. I'm Joe Briggs, sheriff here. I take it you're Gordon's daughter. That's right, sheriff. Jean discovered the body. Who are you? Vale, Pete Vale, booking agent. Eh? Yeah? Where's the body? Let's have a look at it. Hasn't been touched, Sheriff. There, under the window where Jean found it. Ah. What's this getup? Did he always wear this? Kilts? Sure, he was a Scotch entertainer. That's why he's here in town. Didn't you see the show? You mean he wore skirts on the stage?
Oh, please, Sheriff. My father's dead.
It was a Scotch act, Sheriff. Father and daughter. Scotch songs and dances. Both of them dressed in tartans. Both of them? Huh? What about the young lady? She ain't wearing them.
Well, I changed into street clothes before...
Before your father was murdered, huh? What about this knife sticking in him? Ever see that before? Now that's what the Scotch call a dirk, a dagger. It's part of the costume, part of the act. You mean these people are knife throwers? No, the Scotch Highlanders wear a knife in their stockings, just below the knee at the top of the stocking. That dirk was Gordon's, the one he wore in the act. Eh, and all either one of you knows is that he was found laying here on the floor with that knife in his heart. Is that it?
No. No, Sheriff, that isn't all.
Now, Jeannie...
Be quiet, Pete. This is something the sheriff should know.
Well, all right. Come on out with it. What is it?
Well, Father and I... Well, we've been quarreling.
Jeannie, for the love of Mike...
No, Pete, they'll find out sooner or later. I'd rather tell it my own way.
Jeannie, you're just making it tough on yourself. Now, you lay off, mister. What's your story, young woman?
Well, Father was old-fashioned. He used to be a big-time entertainer with his Scotch stories and songs. But he didn't realize that times had changed.
Get to the point. What she means is I was fighting with her old man. What?
No, Sheriff. I wanted to break away from Dad. I did it once and was doing all right on my own. Doing modern stuff, jive. But he got so angry about his own daughter singing jazz songs that he came out of retirement and had Pete set up this tour of tank tops.
Eh? Look, Sheriff, it doesn't mean anything. Old man Gordon was big time, sure, 20 years ago. Command performance for Kings and all that stuff. Made a lot of dough. But when Jean here got set to be a star in her own right, he got mad. Especially when she started jazzing Scotch songs. Well, what's that got to do with this? Nothing.
You see, the only reason Pete is here...
I'm their manager. That's why I'm here. Oh, don't try to kid me, Vale. I know managers don't come along on one-night stands. Especially managers of people performing before small-town women's clubs.
That's right, Sheriff. Pete and I want to get married. That's why.
Jeannie, now you have done it.
Pete wanted to have it out with Father, once and for all. But I asked him to let me do the talking. I knew Father didn't want me to marry Pete. I knew Pete would just make him angry, so...
So?
So I talked to Dad, and it was just as I'd expected. He wouldn't give his consent. I told him we were going to get married anyway, tonight.
So your old man tried to stop you, and you stuck the knife in him, in self-defense,
no.
huh?
No.
Look, I was just outside when she screamed. I ran in and caught her.
Oh, so that's your story, huh?
The only thing she didn't tell you is that I saw her father right after the show.
You saw him? I thought you was waiting outside.
Well, I wasn't.
Well, you'd better tell me where you was, or I'll have to dig it out of you.
I don't have to talk unless I want to.
Oh, Pete, please. Sheriff, he's only trying to protect me. He thinks the evidence looks bad for me.
Well, right now, it don't look so good for either one of you. Are you sure nobody in the audience knew your father was killed?
Well, I don't know. I didn't hear anything before it happened.
Wasn't anybody working backstage?
Sheriff, these women's clubs, all they've got is a committee to run the show, and everybody on the committee is so busy congratulating themselves after it's over, nobody worries about the performers.
Well, it strikes me, young lady, that neither one of you have been paying much attention. That makes it tough when you're trying to get away with murder. Come along. Well, Alma Peabody, what are you doing in the courthouse?
Joe Briggs, this is serious. I've something to tell you.
Well, I'm always glad to talk to important people, Alma. And I got about as much work to do as I ever had here.
I know. That's why I'm here.
Well, all right. All right. Get it over with. It's a cinch I won't be able to do anything until you do spill it.
Joe, I know something about that murder.
What do you know? You're president of the women's club that sponsored this Scotchman's appearance. Is that what you know?
No, Joe. I knew Angus Gordon a long time ago. I mean, I knew him well.
You mean you were a Bobby Soxer when he was a big star like Harry... Anyway, Alma, this is serious business.
Joe, it's hard to say this, but you... Well, you may find it out yourself, and then it'll look... Well, I was married to Angus Gordon.
What?
It's true, Joe.
Are you losing your mind, Alma? You was married to Jim Peabody before you came to this town. Everybody knows that.
Everybody thinks I was never married before, because I was so young when I came here with Jim Peabody. But I was born in Scotland, and my parents married me off to Angus Gordon when I was 16. Angus was just a coal miner then.
Well, all right, Alma, all right. You kind of knocked the wind out of my sails there for a minute, but what does all this have to do with murder?
I'm trying to tell you, Joe. When Angus and I came to this country, he was just a struggling Scotch singer for the church mouse.
Yeah.
So when Jim came along and offered me real security as the wife of a bank president, I left Angus. I never loved him anyway.
Alma, you've been thinking that I might suspect you of Gordon's murder if I found out about this.
Well, my conscience bothered me. I just had to tell you for fear you or someone would make it seem different than it really was.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got nothing to worry about. I got your ex-husband's daughter locked up along with her boyfriend. Between the two of them, I figure I got the one who done it.
But you think the girl is actually implicated, Joe?
I doubt it. I figure the boyfriend done it. The girl's trying to protect him, but that won't last long when I turn the heat on.
Joe, do you trust me?
Well, that's a strange question.
Oh, don't hedge, Joe. Answer me.
Well, Alma, when it comes to murder, I don't trust anybody. But to be sheriff in this county, you've got to be careful of your politics, and you swing a lot of votes.
That means you do.
What do you got up your sleeve?
I think I might help you and at the same time do something charitable for Angus's daughter, if you'll let me, Joe.
You sure you're not holding out on me about this girl? She's not your daughter, is she?
Oh, heavens, no. Angus adopted her right after I left him.
And what is your interest?
Oh, I suppose it's conscience. I feel badly about what happened to Angus, and I'd like to do something for Jean. Something that might help you.
Help me? How?
Well, if you put Jean in my custody, temporarily, I could be nice to her.
That's no help to me.
Oh, but don't you see? Let the young man out, too. If he did murder Angus, and if Jean knows he did...
Oh, you mean they might try to get together, huh?
Exactly. I'll watch Jean like a hawk. Only she'll think I'm just being nice to her for the sake of her father. Then if this person she wants to marry comes around, I'll be able to find out what he's cooking up. Something you could never do as long as you hold them both in jail.
Well, it's crazy. It ain't right.
But you'll do it?
All right, Alma. I'll send the girl to your house.
Pete.
Let me in before somebody sees me.
Oh, Pete, where did you get the ladder? How did you get here?
There. I made it.
Oh, Pete, you're crazy. What are you doing here?
That sheriff has an idea. We'll try something together. That's why he sent you here and let me out on bail.
But this time of night, What's the idea?
I wanted to be sure old Mrs. Peabody would be asleep so I could talk to you privately.
Oh, she's asleep, all right. But, Joe, what are we going to do about you? The sheriff is sure to get you convicted for what happened to Father. He practically told me that.
Yeah. I understand he offered you a nice little deal.
What do you mean?
That's why I'm here, baby. To tell you you can't get away with it.
What? Pete, what are you talking about?
I never thought this would happen to me. Falling for a gal and having her turn out to be a double-crosser.
What? Pete, I've never seen you like this.
No? Well, you never will again.
Do you really think I'd sell you out?
Oh, spare me that, will you, Jean? It's bad enough to know it.
Peter Vale. Well, you really think...
I don't think anything anymore. I just came to tell you I'm going to beat it. But before I go, come over here. Close to me.
Pete, what's got into you? Nothing's changed between us.
Listen, Jean. Before I go, there's just one thing.
Oh, Pete, please. Not this way. I won't listen to you. I can't.
Okay, baby. If that's the way you want it.
Oh, no. No, Pete.
Angus Gordon, the Scotch entertainer, was murdered. And now Angus' daughter, Jean, was she murdered too? Well, it looks very much as if Sheriff Joe Briggs has plenty of problems to solve in the second act of Dagger in the Dark. But now, while the scenes are being shifted, listen to this. And now, Act Two of Dagger in the Dark. Sheriff Joe Briggs has arrived at the home of Mrs. Alma Peabody to find Jean Gordon bleeding profusely and still unconscious. As the curtain rises, the sheriff is talking to Alma.
I sure was a fool to listen to you, Alma. If I'd have left the girl in jail, this wouldn't have happened.
Oh, I know, Joe. I regret this even more than you do. But there's one good thing about it. Don't you see?
What's good about a knife wound in a pretty gal like her?
Oh, I don't mean that. I mean, now you know who did the other murder. Who killed Angus Gordon?
You mean because you saw Pete Vale hauling the ladder up to the side of your house?
Of course, Joe. I saw him as clearly as I see you. He climbed up to poor Jean's window and stabbed her. That's the way he stabbed her father.
You see him do it? You got the knife?
Knife?
Well, whatever he stabbed her with. You got the weapon?
Of course not.
Well, then we don't know as much as you think we know. All we know is you think you saw this guy hauling the ladder up.
I did see him.
Well, how'd he get away then? You claim you called me as soon as you saw him.
I did. He just must have got away.
Well, how? My men were all around the house the whole time. When I got here myself, you were just coming out of Jean's room. And you say you got to the girl right away.
Oh, Joe, don't argue about such inconsequentials. Do something about Jean.
Yeah, she's all right. The doc's in the other room fixing her up. She's going to be all right.
But what about the man, her boyfriend?
Yeah, we'll get him. Don't worry so much. That's my job.
What? Jean!
Wait a minute. What are you doing out of bed, miss? Where's the doc?
I'm all right. The doctor left me quite a while ago.
Jean, you should be back in bed. Come, I'll help you.
Leave me alone, Mrs. Peabody. I want to know what happened to Pete.
You mean you're worried about that Vale fellow yet?
Sheriff, tell me what happened to him. Is he all right?
Be switched if I know, Jean. I ain't seen him. Only Alma here claims she seen him with a ladder outside your window.
Well, sure he was here. But is he all right, Sheriff?
See, I told you, Joe.
Please, Sheriff, I've got to know. Pete thinks I lied to you about him. Did he get away?
Now, look, young lady, you shouldn't be worrying about a guy who stuck a knife in your back.
Pete didn't. I know he didn't.
What?
Jean, you're not rational. Why, of course it was he. It was so dark you couldn't see.
But not so dark I couldn't feel. Look.
Well, your finger's scratched. What about it?
Whoever it was who tried to kill me was behind me. I could still see Pete against the window when this hand was clapped over my mouth.
Oh, Joe, don't mind her. She's so weak from the wound, she just can't remember right.
No. I felt this hand over my mouth, and I reached up and tried to pull it away. That's how I scratched my finger.
On the knife?
No, on a diamond ring.
What?
I could feel the ring when I tried to pull the hand away. Don't you see? It couldn't have been Pete. He never wore any rings at all.
But, Jean, who else could it have been? The house was locked.
There wasn't any other way of getting in except through your window. It must have been your friend Pete.
I don't know who it was, but it wasn't Pete.
Well, this beats me. Teaches me a lesson not to listen to women, even women like you, Alma.
Joe, you've got to do something about this. I can't have my reputation at stake this way.
Your reputation?
Attempted murder happening right here in the Peabody house. What will the town think? Joe, you've got to clear this up right away.
That's a fine attitude.
Yeah, now, wait a minute, you two.
Just
now,
what you might expect of a tank town big shot.
Why, Jean, after all I've done for you.
All you've done? Was you who got my father to come to your old woman's club show?
Me?
I heard the other women talking about it. I know you didn't write the letter, but it was your idea. And now all you're worried about is what people will think about you. Even though father is dead and somebody tried to kill me.
Jean, you ungrateful little...
That's no way to fix anything.
Well, neither one of you has to worry about me anymore. I'm going to get out of here and find Pete Vale before he gets caught for something he didn't do.
Oh, no, you don't. Wait, I'll get it. I'll get it, Albert. Yeah, Sheriff speaking. Hey, who? Yeah, Lambert. Yeah. Yeah. Well, bring him out here. Yeah, right away.
Oh, it's Pete. I know it's Pete.
What's happened, Joe?
Oh, it's that Vale fella, all right. Gil Lambert, the lawyer, was on the other end. He said Vale walked into his office an hour ago. They're coming out here right away. Okay, Gil, come on in. You too, Vale.
Hello, Sheriff.
Oh, Pete.
Jeannie, are you all right?
Now, break it up, you two. This thing isn't settled yet.
The idea, the audacity of this young man.
Now, Mrs. Peabody, don't be too unkind.
Joe Briggs, if you're any kind of a sheriff at all, you're going
to... what are you fretting about, Alma? There's plenty of men guarding the house. Nothing can happen.
Why don't you arrest this young man and be done with it?
Well, first, I want to hear what Gil has to say. You said it was important, didn't you, Gil?
I did.
Well, I'm not going to listen to such twiddle twaddle.
Now, look here, Alma.
It's all right, Joe. Let her go. We don't need her for this.
Let me go. I like that. I'll go as I please. And next election, I'll see we have a new sheriff in this community.
Yeah, go ahead, Pete. Tell the sheriff what you told me.
Oh, Pete, please get yourself out of this.
I will, sweetheart. Just a minute.
Now, come on, Vale. Let's hear it.
Not so fast, Sheriff. You almost got me on this when you told me that tall tale about Jean ratting on me. But in a way, I'm glad you did.
What do you mean?
Let him tell it, Joe.
You wanted to find out which of us was guilty, so you told me Jean accused me of murdering her father.
Yeah.
Well, that's what brought me here to Jean's room. And that's what started me seeing things.
But what, Pete?
Jean, I knew I hadn't put that knife in your back. But I also knew that if I was found with you, everybody'd be sure that I had. So
you ran out on her?
So I could see that whoever used that knife had missed the mark. I knew Jean was going to be all right, so I left to find the clue that would tell me who did it. This.
That's the knife that killed Angus Gordon.
That's right, Joe. I took the liberty of getting it out of your office.
Take a good look at it, Sheriff. See anything?
Pete, what are you getting at? That's Father's dirk.
No, it isn't. Look at the head.
Yeah, some kind of scratches.
But there's writing on it. Engraving so small, I can't quite read it.
That's right. And look at it through this enlarging glass.
And fare thee weel, my only love. And fare thee weel a while. And I will come again, my love, though it were 10,000 miles. Why, that's Bobby Burns.
A nice sentiment, isn't it?
What are you getting at, Vale?
When I left Jean here, I went back to the dressing room where Angus died. All his personal stuff was still there, so I went through it. And I found a small box full of sentimental things about his marriage.
You mean his marriage to Alma Peabody?
How did you know?
She came to my office and told me.
Oh, she did she? Well, that's just fine.
What about the box, Pete?
Well, it was full of letters and a lot of other stuff, all about Alma. Apparently, your father was a sentimental man even before he adopted you.
Tell them about the knife, Pete.
Right. Now, in this box, there was a sales slip for a handmade dirk with four lines of engraving and specifications that had been made smaller than the normal size.
I don't get it.
There was also a letter to Angus from Alma, in which she thanked him for the dirk he had given her when he went away on his first tour of this country. And she quoted the lines engraved on the dirk, those lines from Burns.
You mean that this knife belongs to Alma?
That's right, Joe.
But how...
You see, Pete came to me because he said he needed a lawyer, and he was sure he could clear himself if I'd agree to help him. After he went through that box of your father's, he was sure the weapon found in your father's body was smaller than the dagger your father used in his act. It proved he was right.
The two daggers were identical in design, but this one is smaller and has the engraving.
You mean that I'm supposed to arrest Alma Peabody because of this?
What? Or... Arrest me?
Shut up, Alma, shut up. What would she be killing an ex-husband for?
Revenge, probably. Or jealousy because he'd done so well. She probably hated him.
Ah. Well, Alma, looks like I gotta take you into the courthouse.
What? Arrest me for murder? Why, Joe Briggs, I'll sue you for defamation of character.
I got my duty, Alma, and it kind of points toward you. Come on.
You will live to regret this, Joe Briggs. I've never been so humiliated in my life.
Well, there's nothing much I can do about it, Alma. Nothing that'd interest you, anyway.
Interest me? What do you mean?
Why, there ain't really any evidence against you except what I got.
What do you mean, Joe Briggs?
Oh, that stuff about the daggers. That could be blown higher than a kite. You see, I'm the only one who knows your real motive.
What are you talking about?
Peabody's been dead quite a spell, Alma. Money don't last forever.
What?
The way I figure, you asked this Angus Gordon for some money for the sake of old times.
Well, how did you know?
And I make it my business to know such things. Sheriff, ain't I? And he turned you down. Wouldn't give you a penny.
But, Joe, you couldn't know that, right?
Oh, I heard it myself, Alma. Gordon was a mite worried about you. Yeah, figured you might be up to something.
Joe, that's not true. He was, well, as nice to me as he could ever be to anyone.
Yeah, sure would look good for you if I was to testify about that meeting, wouldn't it?
Well, you couldn't. You couldn't do such a thing to me.
Well, I've got my duty, Alma. And then there's the law. Well,
what about the law?
Well, a man can't testify against his own wife.
What? Joe Briggs, you must be out of your mind.
Be quite a thing for Joe Briggs to be married to Alma Peabody, wouldn't it? Have folks buzzing plenty. And it'd clinch you're not getting caught, too.
But, Joe, I didn't murder Angus Gordon.
Sure. But you think it over, Alma.
We found something very interesting among Alma Peabody's souvenirs, Joe.
Eh? Well, now you look here, Lambert. You got no right to be snooping through her house. It ain't legal.
Legal? If I can convict Dad's murder, I don't care how legal it is.
Here's the weapon, Sheriff. She'd put it back on her writing desk. Her letter opener.
And it's a little long for its holder, Joe. Apparently, when she killed Angus Gordon, she left her dirk in his body, and then she took this. But his knife was long and didn't quite fit the letter opener case. You see?
Yeah, about an inch difference in the length. But she didn't have any motive. I'll bet these two planted it there.
I don't think so, Joe. We wired New York and talked to his lawyers. We found out about Angus Gordon's will.
Well, what about it?
He left his money, share and share alike, to his adopted daughter and his former wife.
You don't say. But he never let Alma know about it, did he? Well, that still don't give her any motive.
You don't really think you can get away with it, do you, Briggs?
Well, what are you talking about? Me?
Dad's will said he'd investigated and found his former wife was in need of money.
Well?
Dad wouldn't have paid for an investigation. He never paid for anything he could get for nothing. He'd have written to the sheriff.
What? You mean...
Don't worry, Mr. Bridges. We can check that. Dad never threw away a piece of correspondence. But I know how he'd operate. And when you found he was coming here, you saw a chance to capitalize on what you knew.
Now, wait a minute. I never had a letter from him in my life. And I didn't know a blame thing about any will.
You'd figured some way to get part of that money, Briggs. What was it?
Nothing. Look, if anybody was to benefit, it'd be Gil Lambert. He's been lending Alma money to live on for close to 3 years. Why, she must owe him nearly $10,000. And he's a lawyer.
Oh, no, you don't.
Put down that gun, Gilbert.
Sorry, I can't oblige you, Sheriff. You were wrong, Miss Gordon. Your father paid for his investigation. I made a deal with Alma Peabody after I'd corresponded with the old man. I'd finance her till she got the money and return for half of what she got.
You killed Dad, and you didn't even know him?
Yes, and I'd have killed you, too, with a little luck. I had to hurry to get home before your boyfriend found I wasn't there. I saw him pounding at the front door, and I had to sneak around the back way. I pretended I'd been asleep. How he ever happened to come to see me...
Put down that gun, Gil.
No thanks, Sheriff. She still gets her share of the money. And someday I'll get my part of it from her. Because you won't get me.
No, I think I'd rather keep it all for myself, Mr. Lambert.
What? Well, you...
Oh. Yeah. Nice work, Alma. You got him.
I was never much good with a dirk, but as a girl I rather prided myself on my marksmanship. I knew he was guilty, but I was scared to death. When you went for Mr. Vale, I was, well... blind with fear.
I don't blame you, Mrs. Peabody.
But, Pete, how did you happen to pick Lambert?
I don't know, Jeannie. Just a stab in the dark.
That's it for this episode of the Relic Radio Show. You can find past episodes of this show, more old-time radio, and everything else Relic Radio at relicradio.com. There's also a donate button there if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. It's how this is all made possible. Thank you, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Tuesday with another hour of old-time radio on the Relic Radio Show. Relic Radio Show is produced by and for relicradio.com. Rebroadcast of this show without permission is strictly prohibited.